Hi, I'm Aaron Kowal from Imaginet Resources, and with me is Mario Cardinal.
Hello.
Today we're going to talk a little bit about how to improve testability using a modular architecture. So Mario, why don't you tell us about modular architecture a little bit and why we would be interested in it?
I've done lots of, I'm an independent consultant, and every time when I join a group and I look at the existing architecture, a lot of the architecture looks like a big ball of spaghetti. There's a lot of dependency, and it always, to my point of view, this is not appropriate, because when you have lots of dependency like that, you cannot easily isolate your domain logic, your core competency from other stuff which are noise, which are not important for your business, like infrastructure requirements, like who's going to consume your business logic. Is it a UI or is it another machine? So I've learned that you need at least a little bit of modularity, and you should focus your modularity on your core competency, on your business logic, your domain. So that's mainly why you want to isolate this business logic. The reason why you will want to do that is because you will gain a lot of business agility. That will be easy for you to change your business logic without having to bother us about infrastructure. You'll be able to create a regression test. That will be much easier for you to build unit tests and to embed this unit test in a set of regression tests. You'll end up also having the capability to isolate your business logic from third-party or external consumer, could be your producer like Microsoft. It's not because Microsoft is changing their schedule upon how they're going to support this infrastructure technology or this data technology that you should have to follow the same schedule. If you isolate your business logic from this infrastructure requirement, you can easily build your own schedule on how you're going to change and evolve your business domain.
Great. So we've talked about why we want it. So tell me a little bit about what is modular architecture.
Well, there's four attributes to modularity. To achieve modularity, you first need to be sure that your module has only one role, a unique role, one reason to change. You must make sure that the module has a visible interface. So the consumer of this module needs to be able to interact with it. They should interact only through the interface, to the visible interface, and you should make sure that you have an internal implementation which is hidden to the consumer. And lastly, but not least, you should make sure that the module can be tested autonomously, that you can easily build a test bed in order for you to validate that your module is functioning or that is functioning correctly.
Great. So what approaches can we use to try and achieve those four attributes of modularity?
Well, first of all, if we look at the unique role, almost every business application that I've seen over the last 20 years end up having three main roles. It's either a module that is a front-end module, mm-hmm. UI or service facade, or it's the other type of module that you'll end up having is the core, the domain, the business logic, and the last one, the third one, this is the back end, all the infrastructure related module. And I've discovered also that in the back end module, there's two broadly category of back end module. One of them is related to data, okay, what we call repository. The other category are infrastructure services, like all your cross-cutting services, logging, security, or maybe services to reach another system. These can be, we can conceive them as infrastructure services, even if you reach another system that could provide to you some business service. For your application, these are external system.
Right, so they're resources to your application.
Yeah.
Great. And so where do you start?
You first start by defining clearly your interface, the visible interface of your module. So should you start with your back-end module or your core module, the one which provides services to your front end, I always start with the core. The reason is because it's very important to understand how your module is going to be consumed. So, well, you should first make sure that you have a UI or that you clearly identify how your service is going to provide capability to the external party. So once you understand this, the UI, you can easily define what is going to be the interface of your core. In order for you to define clearly the interface of your core, there will be three things that you will need to describe. The first one is the list of operation. Yep. The second one is the contract of the interface, the precondition, postcondition, the invariant of this interface. And the last part are the expected behavior, some example of how you expect this interface to be consumed. Because lots of time you will have hidden behavior that cannot be expressed easily using the list of operation or the contract. An example of that, let's say that I'm expecting the service to provide me a list of show or a list of products. Maybe there's an hidden behavior such as the list should be sorted in descending order. Nowhere it will be expressed in your interface or in your code contract, but using a test, unit test, and as an example, you could define that you're expecting the list to be sent back to the consumer sorted.
Right. So how are you going to be able to express that contract? How do you go about figuring out and proving that contract in fact supports?
A naive approach would it be to say, okay, I'll define right away an abstract class as an interface and try to go right away defining the precondition. I've learned the hard way that this is not a good approach, that it doesn't pay going this way. You should probably start with a mock-up, just something that works with your UI so that rapidly you can have a feedback loop with your users so that providing them a UI that works as it is the real system, so that with this feedback loop you can validate with your user, is this really the UI that you want? Once they say yes, this is what I want, now you can start building the interface of your core. Lots of time you will discover that once you provide the UI, a functioning UI, your user will change the requirements. Say, oh, I don't want it this way. And if you build the whole system underneath it, you don't want to change because you spend too much dollar. But if you just mock up, you easily want to change with them to accommodate their needs. And once you're sure that this is really the UI they want, now it's time to start creating the interface, the visible interface of your core module. So you'll take the mock-up, you'll extract the interface, the extract class. And once you have extract this interface, you will have to interface the code contract, the way to express your precondition, postcondition. And once you have defined these two pieces, you will have the example for as unit tests. There's usually three categories of example that you want to provide. The API path. How do you expect this service to be used in the API way? Yep. This is the easy part. The difficult part is to also express the boundary limit. Let's say that you have that you expect a parameter to be the count. So what does happen when you receive a negative value or a value of zero or a high-end value? All these boundary limits, you should create tests just to expect the expected behavior. The last one, which is the most important, what happens when some things don't work correctly? When there's a saboteur, when there's exception. And lots of time you'll discover that you need also to add to your visible interface definition of new exception, such as, oh, I'm expecting duplicate key exception. Or invalid key exception. All these exceptions are part of the visible interface of your module. Once you've defined that, now you have clearly defined the visible interface of module, and you could start building the internal implementation.
So you talked a little bit about the different aspects of that interface. So the tough one to express is those expected behaviors, the fact that I want it sorted, et cetera. How do you describe that in your contract? Is it through the tests?
I'm building tests, and I'm using the mockup as a real implement, a concrete implementation to validate my tests. So now that what I will have is four pieces: the abstract class, the interface, the code contract, which is also a concrete class that implements the interface, and also the unit test, which use the mockup, a concrete implementation, to validate, to express the expected behavior. And these four blocks enable me to create, to express totally the visible interface of the module.
Great. So now we've got a visible interface and a mock. So you know, how do we go about from there creating the implementation?
The implementation is going to be easy to do. What you will, you'll implement the interface as a public class. This is the only public class that you will have in the body implementation. The rest, all the other classes are going to be hidden. So the way to do that in C# is to declare them as internal. So now every other class are going to be hidden, and all these classes will need at some point to depend upon the backend.
Right.
And again, I'll use the same trick. I'll mock up my backend just to learn how I want to consume my backend. Once I'm sure that I want to consume it this way, I'll again extract the interface, create the interface for my backend, create a mockup, create tests, the contract, and at this point, I will have the three layers: the front end, the core, and the back end, which can be a lots of back end.
Right. So basically, your approach is you create the mock, use the mock to derive the interface, create the implementation, and then go to the next layer down.
It's really a top-down approach.
Yep.
It's a learning process. And I'm not afraid of experimenting because I can easily throw away if I discover that it doesn't work correctly, because I don't spend lots of time implementing. Building a mockup is really easy. Some people will tell you, oh, you need to have a mockup framework. In my experience, I don't need to use mockup framework. I just build a mockup because using memory container, it's very easy to provide the expected state. Because lots of time is just to make sure that the mockup give the good behavior by state.
So we've got three of your properties of modules satisfied. So the last one, so we've written some tests, but really we've written the tests to kind of express the desired state. With layered architectures, it's always a challenge creating unit tests that test module in isolation. So how does your approach address that?
That's the fourth attribute of a modularity, making sure that you can autonomously test your module. Again, I'm going to reuse my mockup, but I will need more than just use my mockup. I will need to level the dependency. Let's say that my front end depends on a back end, and this back end depends on other classes. And easily I can end up having a chain of 15 components upon which I depend. I don't want to depend on these 15. So what I'll do, I will level my dependency by replacing the real back end implementation with the mockup. And I know the mockup has only one, it doesn't depend on anything. So now I will level my dependency to one level. And the other trick is to use abstract class. It's not to depend on the real implementation, but instead to depend on the interface, so that you can easily at runtime replace the real implementation with the mockup. And the technology to use that is to either you pull your dependency or push a dependency in your constructor. So every time that a class depends on something, I will make sure that it receives its dependency inside its constructor. This is what we call constructor dependency injection. And now, once I have this approach, I can use a dependency injection framework like Unity, the one that is produced by Pattern and Practices Group, or any other dependency injection framework. There's a bunch of them available. And it's very easy to, this is not very tricky. It's very easy to use dependency injection framework to inject your dependency this way.
Great. And so the tests that you had created originally, they were directly referencing your mock implementation. Do you have to go refactor those tests to now depend on interface?
What I do usually, I will create an override, a virtual method called getSet, for get system under test. And so this test, the first one, the get set will return the mockup implementation. And after that, if I want to reapply the same test on my body implementation, I will just inherit from the test and re-implement and override the virtual get set method. And in this case, I'll just say I want to create the new instance, the instance of the body, the real one, the concrete one. And all the tests, I will reapply all the tests on my body implementation, making sure that the body implementation really fulfill the expected behavior, really fulfill the contract. And in this case, because I don't want to bring all the dependency, the concrete dependency, I will replace my dependency with mockup. Right. So this way, I will test my module in a test bed. The code of my module and the mockup dependent on other module. And this way, I can really simplify testing the module in a test bed.
Great. And so now coming back to the benefits from the start, so now you've got this testable, single role piece of functionality. And so how does that, describe how that directly gets you back to that business agility that that you were talking about earlier?
Because my core domain, it's not tied anymore to infrastructure, I'm not afraid to build tests. And it's very easy to build tests. And once I've built unit tests to validate the expected behavior, I can easily add these tests in regression tests, so make a regression test that I can run every night. So every time that I have a change request from my customer saying, oh, I want you to change the business logic, I can easily change it and rerun my test, making sure that I don't break something. Which is a way for me to ease the change process or to ease how I change internally the implementation of the core. Again, now that I have a very clear visible interface, it can be easy also to change who's going to consume my business logic. Let's say that because of business change, it's not anymore a UI that I need, but it's a machine that needs to consume my business logic. So that means I can easily create a service facade in front of my business logic, and now it will be available to these other systems. So this is our way to create, to enable business agility, and to make sure that your core competency, that your competitive advantage is always a great value. That's the only way you can ensure that your business will stay in business. In these days, some organizations learn it the hard way. And again, I think that this is not difficult to do. If you decide upfront to apply these techniques, it doesn't cost more. And in the end result, you gain a lot of agility.
Right, and maintainability
with
the isolation of modules from each other.
So now we're talking more about architecture agility, and which is something that we will hear more and more in future.
Great. Well, thanks, Mario. Anything else you want to add to wrap up?
Well, if people want to learn more, they can go to my website. It's mariocardinal.com. And I'm always blogging and adding more information about how to create business logic using modular architecture.
And you are doing a presentation on this topic
tomorrow afternoon.
Full session presentation. Great. Yep. Great. Well, thank you, Mario.
Thank you, Aaron.